Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hockensmith. Dustin, in quarter number one, I got my rant out on the fact that we didn't get to see this scrimmage slash blue-white game slash spring game slash whatever you want to call it. We didn't get to see it on TV. So now we're going to give another topic and another chance for me to rant, okay? Let's start with the quarterbacks. And your favorite player, Sean Clifford. Did you tell me before we started you already have your Heisman Trophy vote in for Sean for this season?
Yeah, I mail it in every year, but the problem is I'm not an actual registered Heisman Trophy voter, so I don't think they ever count it. But there's one in for Sean Clifford. It's unofficial, very unofficial, off the books. But I got that vote in there. I mean, if he's going to be Joe Burrow, as I anticipate, you got to vote for him.
Exactly. Very good point. Well, if he's going to be Joe Burrow this year, apparently he didn't give it away during this scrimmage.
Yeah, how to best put it? I mean, he should be in an exhibition like this. I know that there are all kinds of variables with the offense, and you know they spend a lot of time just with installation and stuff like that. Maybe haven't gone through the steps very often, but it really seems like everything we've come to expect Sean Clifford to be, he was that again on Saturday. Some good, some bad, head scratching, maybe not anticipating things the way that he should. And there is a chance to grow into that. You know, if you take what the coaches are saying at face value, there's a chance for him to grow into that. But at the same time, you know, that when they're digging and they're asked about Sean Clifford and they continuously, the number one compliment out of the coaching staff's mouth is how bad he wants it. That to me is a little bit problematic. You know, I haven't heard a tangible piece of praise for him that saying, hey, his arm looks outstanding, his footwork is much better, the mental part of the game has really clicked for him, you know, since the end of last season. We haven't heard anything tangible when it comes from a progress standpoint. Mike Yurcich and James Franklin both said the same thing about Sean Clifford, and I know that it's true. I mean, that has been true since his time at St. Xavier. He does want it. He does work at it. He's working at the mental side of things. Like last year, he was talking about how much he was playing chess and how that was kind of stretching his mental muscle. I do know that Sean Clifford wants it. He wants to be a leader, and he wants to be great, and football is important to him. We know all those things. We've known those things since the moment he stepped on campus. What else is there is what I want to know. We didn't see much else, and we didn't hear much else after this game. And to me, I mean, there is a very tangible same old vibe happening here. And for better or worse, I mean, there's still quite a bit of time, and there's time to build up chemistry and really get into a rhythm with what Mike Yurcich is asking him to do. But it really did feel like the same old Sean Clifford when everybody knows that that's not going to be good enough to take this team where it wants to go.
You're right. And all spring, it seems to have been the damning with faint praise type of situation for Sean. And it is troubling. And part of that, too, Dustin, is when I look around at this team, I see a lot of promise at offensive line. The running back room is full. We have some very good wide receivers, highlighted by Jahan Dotson making the decision to come back. Tight end looks really good. So when you're talking about this offense, it feels like all the pieces are in place with one glaring question mark, and that's the one at quarterback.
Yeah, and if you know, what Mike Yurcich said after the game, this was the most tangible constructive criticism praise that I've seen of Sean Clifford since the end of last year, is that the progress he needs to make is in anticipation and getting his eyes where they need to go. And that will come with more reps and more experience within the offense. And maybe that's true. And my mind just got to thinking, if that doesn't progress as they hope it progresses between now and September, what you're going to have is a play caller who's going to have to put one arm behind his back and kind of manage around if there is a limitation there. They're going to have to call plays that only have one or two reads. They're going to call, maybe lean on the running game. They're going to lean on quarterback runs. I mean, this is what I'm kind of thinking about now is that, okay, if Sean Clifford doesn't make the development that Mike Yersich believes will happen between now and September, what do you do as a play caller? And I think it might look a little bit like it did in the second half of last season. If this is something that Sean Clifford continues to struggle to wrap his head around or put into motion when the feathers are flying, they're going to have to adjust, and it's not going to be a good thing in terms of opening up all of Mike Yersich's playbook right away. So, I mean, that burden is on him between now and September. He didn't get a lot of chances to work with his wide receivers really at this time last year, but also through the summer. So maybe that has some good positive effects on Sean Clifford. Maybe we're making too much of this, but you know, I think it's okay to continue to have a critical eye about the quarterback position based on what happened Saturday.
And there are other variables beyond Sean Clifford as far as what the quarterback play is going to look like. It is a different offensive coordinator. This is a team that now has a spring practice with a new coach, new coordinator. They will be, Sean Clifford will have more opportunity with the receivers during the summer. So might this also be not just Sean Clifford this year versus Sean Clifford last year, but also Mike Yersich and the amount of time they had to prepare versus Kirk Ciarca and the time they had to prepare last year?
Well, you know what? If there was a lack of rhythm or a lack of chemistry or connection when they're executing these plays in a game-like setting, that should be to be expected. And also, I mean, I think what they were working through on Saturday was probably something similar to what they were working through week one last year, in the early part of the actual season last year, because they didn't have this chance. You know, Parker Washington didn't catch a pass from Sean Clifford until like 2 weeks before the season began. You know, all that was troublesome. And to a certain extent, yeah, it is unfair to use what you saw on Saturday, the pieces that we did see, against Sean Clifford, just because this is not a finished product. And they do say most of the time in this situation, defense is going to be ahead of offense just because of the degree of coordination required to execute on one offensive play to the next. So that was what happened. The defense was certainly ahead of the offense. I'm just kind of piecing together all the elements here and saying, okay, there was some good and bad from Sean Clifford. It sounded like the same issues that have been on display for 2 years were kind of on display on Saturday. And the coaches didn't really bend over backwards to talk about, you know, all the really, really good things that Sean Clifford is doing from a pure quarterback standpoint.
And similar things probably could be said about the backups, Taquan Roberson, Christian Vaiu. Now, they are two very different circumstances. I believe, is this the third year for Roberson in the system? And Vaiu is just coming in early from high school. So they're at two very different stages. But we didn't hear much more about those two either, did we?
And I know it might be taking James Franklin's words out of context, but for him after this game to say that the number two quarterback job is somewhere where they still need to make a lot of progress, it's not really what you want to hear when it comes to Roberson either. You know, I feel like as the more experienced guy, this should be no contest between him and Christian Vaiu for that number two job. He should be ready. We should be hearing, oh, he's come so far since the end of last year. You guys aren't even going to believe it, you know, and possibly part of this is just, you know, the reacclimation to yet another offense for him, kind of going back to the drawing board. But at the same time, and maybe that renders, you know, the experience advantage he has kind of, you know, moot. Maybe it helps Christian Vaiu if everybody's starting from square one with Mike Yersich. That helps the true freshman. But I do feel like we should be hearing more positive stuff about Roberson, too. And obviously, when you throw him out there without a lot of game action, there's going to be some good and some bad. There's going to be a lack of anticipation. There's going to be some bad throws, some good throws. You got to expect all that. But, I mean, again, I feel like for the number two job, we should be hearing how Taquan Roberson is running away with it, should we not?
And finally, Dustin, last note on the quarterbacks. The quarterback went under center. Now, For years, we've been told we don't have enough time in practice to also go under center. That's too much to ask. We have too much of a restriction on time. However, it appears with a new offensive coordinator putting a new offense, we do have some time to practice going under center, but it didn't go so well.
Yeah, and there's some kind of sweet irony to that of everybody's been clamoring for it for years, and then they give it to him, and it's a screw-up situation. I mean, Mike Yersich has been clear about this, that there are some situations where that makes sense. And he also talked after the game about how, you know, situational football isn't something that they've gone too far down the trail yet. So it's possible that they haven't really run that stuff too much. I also believe that James Franklin and probably Mike Yersich knew exactly the deal that would be made out of going under center, and they gave it to fans in this situation anyway. But yeah, there's something really funny about them botching that. And what will happen next is they'll put a fullback in there, and the fullback will, the running back will run into the fullback's butt on a play and knock the ball loose. You know, like, so I don't know. I think it's fair. I think it's reasonable to bring that play back into it. You know, go under center for a short yardage situation. Just execute a little bit better.
Well, maybe he was right all along. They haven't had enough time to practice it, so that's why it was botched. Let's put it away and never see it again. And I find it intriguing that you said, you know, let's give the fans what they want, but Dustin, did it really happen if there's no fans available to see it?
There were over 7,500 17-year-olds in the stands, Jim. So there were some. And then obviously we have Greg Pickle's portrayal of what happened, which is better than the real thing anyway.
Well, the question is, those 17-year-olds, when the quarterback went under center, they must have been wondering what was going on. They've never seen that before.
Yeah, what is this sorcery? He's able to go directly behind that guy who snaps him the ball. So, yeah, you know, I don't think they appreciated the full history of not going under center. But, you know, alas, it'll give us something to talk about for a while and wonder, you know, in week one, are they going to do that? Are they going to actually go under center after this?
Well, and the unfortunate part, because it wasn't televised, they don't get to put that on film for the other teams to see it, so that they'll have to prepare all week for that. Oh, Penn State's going under center. We've got to spend 3 days of practice this week preparing for that. Somehow I don't think we would have had that reaction anyway, Dustin. That is it for quarter number two. We've hit a couple topics hard. The first couple quarters, next couple, we're going to go a little more rapid fire, Dusty. So stay tuned.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat. Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.